So, if you haven't heard of the Eurasian collared dove, one thing is you probably have heard this bird before. The Eurasian collared dove is a medium-sized, pale, tannish-gray bird. It has a black collar of feathers on its back neck, gives it its name. They look and sound slightly different than mourning doves, which are more tan in color and have a softer call. So now that I've told you about these birds, you're probably going to start noticing them everywhere. And here's the thing, they kind of are everywhere. They're a non-native species introduced from Central Asia about 30 years ago. Since then, they've spread across the country, and you can see them throughout the KSJD listening area. But what does it mean if they're a non-native species for ecology? I talked to researcher and adjunct professor of biology at the University of Mexico, Mike Fuller. He has studied the species and tracked its population growth in a 2006 study. He joined me by phone to talk more about these birds. I asked him first about the dove's introduction into North America.
It actually was got there from escapees that were released in the Bahamas either in the late 70s or the early 80s. And so they spread from the Bahamas north into Florida.
How quickly did this dove spread across the U.S.?
Very quickly. Within a matter of years, it had become well established in Florida, and by the 1990s, it was established across the southern United States and even into California. Although we believe that the California populations that first showed up in the early 1990s were due to a completely separate, independent release of birds in Southern California. So we have some evidence that a researcher was trying to get evidence on the distribution of the birds and talk to some people who admitted to releasing birds in California. Also, some had released birds in Texas and apparently Missouri. So there's this thing with dove fanciers that sometimes they like to let the birds go.
Interesting. I had no idea. So there's people who really like doves, and then they realize that they would rather they'd rather let the doves go free? Is that kind of the story behind it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe because they think maybe it would be nice if the doves lived in their neighborhood, or I'm not sure. They probably have different reasons.
Interesting. Now, what is it about this bird that makes it spread so quickly? Why does the population do so well?
For one thing, it can have six different broods per year, so it can actually reproduce maximum of six times in a given year. And most birds are more on the order of three, maybe four times a year. And that, of course, increases the rate of the population growth when they arrive somewhere. They are very well adapted to moderately urbanized environments, so suburban environments are perfect for them, or not low but moderate intensity agriculture. So, and we have a lot of suburbs across our cities throughout the United States, and so they just like plop right into a perfect habitat.
We're in a pretty rural area here, and we have, of course, doves living in towns, but I want to talk about the impacts to ecosystems, especially outside of cities. What impacts do these birds have on those ecosystems?
Well, they're primarily concentrated in suburban areas and areas of moderate urban development, so they haven't really been spreading that much into natural areas. In particular, they avoid dense forests, mountainous areas, and any areas where the humidity is really high. They tend to prefer more arid and warmer areas. They're originally from India and Sri Lanka, and so they're kind of adapted to that kind of more warm areas. They have expanded into Turkey and the Balkans. That was like in the 16th century. So this bird is known for its expansions. It will be in an area for a while, and then it will suddenly decide to expand across large areas. And it did that twice in Europe, and now it's doing that across the United States. It's pretty well established. But again, it seems to be concentrated in areas of human development.
Interesting. So when we're in our backyards and we're, you know, listening to these birds or seeing these birds fly around or nest, you know, in places around our homes, how worried should we be about their ecological impacts?
Well, for one thing, they're pretty obvious birds, so it's hard to miss them. They're large and they have loud calls, and they are very common at bird feeders. And so, you know, people notice them very quickly when they arrive in an area. And so it might appear that they're, you know, dominating simply because of their large size and their abundance, but their visibility. But what we're finding is there were concerns early on about the impact to native dove species like the mourning dove, which is also widespread in North America. And the concern was that they're going to be competing with the mourning doves for food and nest sites. And there was also some concern of the possibility that this new invading dove might be carrying a disease or a parasite, which could then spread to North American populations. That was the concern. So what we've been able to discover so far with a number of different studies is that they are cohabitating areas with mourning doves without any seeming declines in the mourning dove populations.
Hmm. So the populations are remaining the same. Are there any? There doesn't appear to be any competition for any other resources?
They have been shown to have a very broad overlap in their diet, so they eat the same seeds and types of food. But the Eurasian collar dove, it has a slightly larger bill size, and so it can eat larger seeds than the mourning dove can. And apparently, that's enough to allow both of them to coexist. Hmm. There haven't been any studies that have shown that the presence of the collar dove had a negative impact on mourning doves.
Do they ever breed together? Is that a possibility?
Well, the birds do like to hybridize, and there's been a number of cases where invasive birds have hybridized with native birds, and that has caused a problem in some cases, particularly in Hawaii. But here, whether or not they're going to hybridize, we don't know, but there haven't been any cases that I know of collared dove, mourning dove hybridization, or with any of the other native doves that we have, like the white-winged dove.
As you've been studying these doves, have you started just noticing them everywhere?
Yeah, they're in my yard, so I hear them every morning. Yeah, I think that probably is the true. Since I started studying them, I notice them everywhere. They're in my dreams, probably. I mean, they're just those calls they make. They have this sort of a screechy call that they make when they're flying, and it's a territorial call, and it's just, you know, it's kind of coarse. Yeah, it's not the nice coo-cooing of the mourning dove.
Yeah. I ask you to imitate it, but we're on the phone, yeah, and we're almost out of time here. So yeah, we'll see if I can find a recording elsewhere.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So Mike Fuller is a researcher and adjunct professor of biology at University of New Mexico. Thanks very much for talking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you, too.
I did find that call courtesy of the Audubon Society. Here's what he's talking about. I'm glad you've joined me to learn more about this bird here on Morning Edition on KSJD. Thanks for tuning in.